I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
It honestly had all the makings of a type of game that usually ends with the Avalanche getting goalied, but it also reminded me quite a bit of late last season when the Avs were, you know, on that late run in March and in April to secure the division title, where they were going into Arizona, going into San Jose, winning these big games, sometimes needing to claw back and win back-to-backs and take the Coyotes to a shootout, and all of these different ways that they had to win, where quite frankly, sometimes they maybe didn't deserve it. Not that today was that, but they always got the job done. And that's the key factor here for the Avalanche's victory Saturday night against the San Jose Sharks, 2-1 in the shootout, thanks to a goal from Mikko Rantanen. Of course, I am Arif Dean of Mile High Sports. And this is another episode of Hockey Mountain High, your go-to Avalanche podcast, presented by Superbook Sports. I'm going to keep this one short because we're simply just going to talk about this game here. And I just kind of want to go over a little bit of what I saw, what I thought was really fascinating with the way that the Avalanche came away with this victory. Number one, right off the bat, I have to mention it because it would be hilarious if I didn't. But Nathan MacKinnon had 14 shots on goal and didn't have a single point. Like, you're not going to see that happen many, many times, if ever again. So I thought that was really crazy. Mackenzie Blackwood played out of his mind. But something that really stuck out to me with the Avs tonight is it didn't seem like anything really got in their way. And I heard Kale McCarr post-game in the dressing room, he was talking to reporters and mentioned something along the line where, like, the thought really never came to his mind that they were going to let this one slip away or that they were going to get goalied or anything like that. And you often hear players say things like that, and it sounds a little cliche. But this time it sounded pretty, like, he was honest. He was genuinely being honest. Because we saw, let's just kind of, you know, break down the key factors of this game. Starting from the first period, the Avalanche come out strong. Matt Benning takes a penalty shortly after Jonathan Drouin, and on that, or sorry, Drouin was in the second period, but Matt Benning takes a penalty early in the first period, and the Avalanche have this exceptional power play. That's where I tweeted out how incredible the top unit looked. They were on the ice for a minute 45, but Blackwood stood tall. Then, a few minutes later, Thomas Bortolo redirects a shot from Matt Benning, puts the Sharks on the board. I think at the time, the shots were 10-3 or 10-2, something outrageous like that. Just, you know, a total one-sided affair. And it even showed, you know, the eye test. It passed the eye test as well. The Avalanche were dominating play and controlling play. Then, in the second period, or obviously later in the first period, the Avs get another power play. Giovanni Smith heads to the box. They make nothing of it. In the second period, Jonathan Drouin takes a penalty. And San Jose doesn't get anything on the power play, but they started to kind of build a little bit of something. They had a little bit of momentum in that second period for a little bit. You know, the game wasn't as one-sided for that middle part. And then eventually the period ends with a Val Nichushkin penalty that ends up carrying over into the third period. And then you get to the third period. The Avs kill off that penalty. Then Devon Taves takes a penalty. They kill that one off. Now we're at the halfway mark of regulation. They still can't beat Blackwood. They pull the goalie. They control play. They dominate play there. They eventually get the goal. They get to overtime. Nathan MacKinnon takes a penalty. So now there is very little reason to believe that they can get through this. And they kill off the penalty. Nathan MacKinnon comes out of the box. It's you know, the more traditional or old school 4-on-4 overtime, because MacKinnon comes out of the box in a 4-on-3 power play. And the whistle doesn't blow. The Avalanche don't get anything out of it. Goes to the shootout. Mikko Rantanen gets the one goal. Georgiev stops all three. And that's it. That's that. It's just everything about it just felt like they genuinely, in the heart of hearts, felt like they were going to do it. And they did. And those are the kind of performances that you look back on and really appreciate, especially late in the season when you're looking at the standings. And those are the ones that are going to end up mattering. I thought Ryan Johansson was exceptional in the faceoff circle once again. He won 17 of 28 draws. And man, the guy took 28 of the team's 64 draws, nearly half of them. That is the exact reason why you brought this guy in. That is exactly why you brought him in. They do need some help in the faceoff circle, because from the fourth line, Frederik Olofsson was 0-5 and Cogliano won 1-4. So combined, they only won 1-10. You can't have that. Josh Manson had to take a faceoff, very unique because of that shorthanded opportunity or the penalty kill in overtime where Cogliano got kicked out of the circle. He lost that. Arturi Lehkonen took a faceoff. He lost that. And then on the top line, Mr. 14 shots and 22 shot attempts. Nathan MacKinnon only won 1-9, but Mikko Rantanen won 5-7. And of course, the other centerman, Ross Colton, had 8 faceoffs. He won 3. So the Avalanche were dominated in the dot. They won 27, they lost 37, but their 27 wins, 17 of them came from Ryan Johansson. And that's why you brought that guy in. And since we're talking about Ryan Johansson, I do want to touch on the second line, because that was probably the one unit that I was a little bit critical of after opening night. And I thought they were great today. I thought Arturi Lehkonen was starting to generate. He played well. He had, I believe, the second most shots in the game. He was at 8. So he was up and down the ice. Val Nichushkin was the beast that we know him to be tonight. It was a far greater performance than we saw in the first game. And he wasn't terrible in the first game. He just didn't seem like Val. Now it seems like Val. He only played 16:37 because, again, the part that's still in adjustment is he's not on the top power play unit, so his minutes aren't as inflated as other players. For example, Arturi Lehkonen played 5:52 on the power play. Val Nichushkin only got a minute 32. But at 5-on-5, Val played 2.5 minutes almost more than Arturi Lehkonen. So, you know, he's all over the ice. He's also on the penalty kill. He played a minute and a half of shorthanded ice time as well. So I thought Nichushkin was great, and I thought Ryan Johansson was fitting right in. He had that opportunity in the first period, one of the many golden opportunities that just couldn't get past Blackwood. It was the one that was knocked away by Jan Ruda just before it crossed the goal line. And if there's something I love about Ryan Johansson, he kind of has this demeanor when he's walking just in general. But he's got a great Are you freaking kidding me, face? That face you make where you look up into the sky, roll your eyes, and just, are you freaking kidding me when Jan Rutta was able to knock that puck away? It's a funny thing to say, but Johansson's got a great are you freaking kidding me face. So keep an eye out for that, hopefully, the next time he pots it home. But if he doesn't, keep an eye out for the reaction from Sir Ryan Johansson, who on the top power play unit was on the ice for 6 minutes and 28 seconds. Obviously, Cale Makar, 6:29, Nathan MacKinnon, 6:37, Arturi Lehkonen, 5:52, and leading the bunch, Mikko Rantanen, 6:38. And that unit just couldn't get one past Blackwood for whatever reason. But regardless, the Avs came away with the victory. Miles Wood, once again, 4 hits, leads the team. 11 minutes and 9 seconds of total ice time. We saw the return of Andrew Cogliano, and he was great. 11 minutes and 7 seconds really brought an extra punch to the fourth line. Obviously, Logan O'Connor, once again, played big minutes on the PK. He had over 2 minutes of ice time on the shorthanded. And we saw Cogliano over 3 minutes. So, you know, it started to level out a little bit from where O'Connor was in that first game, playing almost 4.5 minutes, I believe it was, because Cogliano missed the game and McDermott was in the lineup. For the centerman, for Frederik Olofsson, I'm still not sold on him as a centerman. I don't think Jared Bednar is sold on him as a centerman, and I think that that's something to keep an eye on. I know the Avalanche lack center depth, and that's kind of their big thing right now, and you know, I often go back to it, and I think of Ben Myers and like this opportunity for him to be a fourth line center on this team. As soon as the Avalanche started to put their roster together, because before July 1st, they went out and got Ryan Johansson and Ross Colton. And then on the 1st of July, they went out and got Jonathan Drouin and Miles Wood. From that point, before they ever signed Tomas Tatar, from that point, every single roster that I wrote down, I jotted down, I tweeted out, I put online, I thought to myself, it was always with the four centers being MacKinnon, Johansson, Colton, Myers. And I'm looking at Frederik Olofsson's struggle in the faceoff circle. I'm looking at a player that probably should be on the wing on this team's depth chart, playing center because Ben Myers couldn't grab a hold of that opportunity. And again, it's not the end of the Ben Myers experiment or the Ben Myers era of Avalanche hockey. I don't think it is. I still think he's got something there. But man, you got to be watching these games and thinking, I let one slip past me. Because going into training camp, he was the fourth best centerman on the depth chart and just did not solidify that opportunity. And he had every opportunity to have it. During the game, I texted Peter Baugh, who's out obviously in San Jose and on his way to Seattle. I'm here in Denver. And I told him contract and AAV aside, Nico Sturm would look real good as the fourth line center on this team. And, you know, that goes back to the Stanley Cup year. It goes back to the chemistry he has with Cogliano. The two of them combined for a pretty big goal in Game 4 against the Lightning at Amalie Arena back then. And he's got the chemistry. A line of Cogliano, Sturm, O'Connor would be fun. But obviously that's not going to happen. He makes a lot of money. He's signed for multiple years with the San Jose Sharks. I'm still not sold on Frederik Olofsson, not as a player, but as a centerman. I think he's a good depth winger. And if you had a fourth line center of, you know, Ben Myers or whatever, then when you have an injured Cogliano for opening night, well, you can turn to Frederik Olofsson and go with an Olofsson, Myers, O'Connor, for example. But you need Ben Myers to step up or another fourth line center. Which obviously I think to me, if Ben Myers doesn't grab a hold of that spot by January or so, or January or February or so, I think that that's going to be the quote unquote big forward move the Avalanche make at the deadline. Assuming everybody stays healthy, Tatar, everybody kind of has their part in the lineup. I would imagine that aside from Kovalenko joining the team, I think a fourth line center would be their addition, and something similar to what they did with the trade for Nico Sturm a couple years ago. That was a big addition at the time, and that's might be the kind of move they need. So we are only 2 games in the season, and I'm already talking about the trade deadline, but sometimes you got to look ahead, and I think the fourth line center position is something that they're already looking ahead about if Frederik Olofsson doesn't really pick it up, which I have my doubts. Again, I'm not doubting him as a player. I'm just doubting him as a permanent centerman. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see if Riley Tufte gets an opportunity or if Ben Myers eventually gets a call-up. But with that, A couple of the guys to call out, I thought, like I said, I mentioned earlier, Miles Wood, I thought he was exceptional. I love seeing him skate. He's got one of the highest top speeds in the NHL. He's a really fast skater. And man, I'm learning more and more each night why the Avalanche gave him a 6-year term and were confident in doing so. So shout out to him for another great game. Drouin was a little bit more quiet, but still, you know, noticeable. Tatar was pretty quiet completely. He didn't have any shots. I think he only had one shot attempt. But that's the kind of player Thomas Tatar is. You know, he's not coming in to play a Ross Colton or Miles Wood type of energy game. He's the kind of guy that puts up points. And when he's not putting up points, you might not even recognize or realize he's on the ice. And sometimes it happens. But in the end, the Avalanche got the victory. In the first game of the post Devon Taves contract extension, he puts up 22 minutes and 28 seconds. He himself had 4 shots to go along with Cale Makar's 5 shots. And obviously Nathan MacKinnon had 14, Mikko Rantanen had 3, Arturi Lehkonen had 8. So a lot of guys had multiple shots in this game. Nichushkin had 3 as well. But all around great effort. The last guy I want to touch on to end this quick post-gamer is Alexander Georgiev, who, when acquired by the Avalanche, what is it now, 15 months ago or so? A little over 15 months ago when the Avalanche acquired this guy, he had 58 career wins and nobody really knew what the Avs were getting themselves into. They certainly thought they had an idea of what they were getting into, but I don't think anybody else thought this. He came here with 58 wins 15 months ago, and today he hit 100. His 42nd win in an Avalanche uniform. Last year he went 40-19-5 or something like that, and 40-19-3, I believe it was the totals, and he's already 2-0 this year, 42nd win, 100th of his career. So shout out to Alexander Georgiev. You know, it's easy to talk about how great a night Mackenzie Blackwood had, because he did, because the Avalanche outshot the San Jose Sharks friggin' 52-21. But it's also worth mentioning that Georgiev, you know, he faced a 2-on-1. He faced a couple breakaways. He obviously had some tip shots, one that beat him. And to have to stay that sharp and play that way and then have a 4-on-3 PK in overtime and make a save there too is not as easy as it seems. So Mackenzie Blackwood was exceptional, but you got to hand it to Alexander Georgiev, especially given the fact that it took 58 minutes and 34 seconds in regulation for the Avalanche to even get one past Blackwood. It was crucial for Georgiev. From the 8-minute mark of the first period when Bortolo scored until 18 minutes of the third period, so 50 minutes later, it was crucial for Georgiev to shut her down, and he did, and that's what the Avalanche needed to win. They are in Seattle Tuesday night for their first game against the team that eliminated them from the playoffs last year before finally coming home Thursday for that home opener against the Chicago Blackhawks. We're going to put an end to it here. I will talk to you guys in a few days.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99.
Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.